So we were reviewing, because last year we covered the first three verses of Bhajan Rahasyam, we didn't have class yesterday because of the function, Gopal Mandir. But what we covered 2 days ago, we were explaining about how Bhajan Rahasyam, how you perform bhajan with the Bhajan Rahasyam. Because what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did was he collected the essential, what he considered to be the essential shlokas or verses from the books of Rupa and Raghunath Das and Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada Nanda, all the essential verses which one needs to actually practice Raghunuga Sadhana, Bhakti, along the lines of what he calls the progressive path of bhajan. And the progressive path of bhajan is actually what was given by Rupa and Sanatan. Because different acharyas in Gaudiya Sampradaya, they present the system of bhajan in different ways. The goal is the same. Prem Seva, Radha and Krishna, Vrindavan, or specifically Radharani, if one is in Madhurya Bhav or Mandri Bhav. But they have different process. So you can say path of perfection or the process of perfection, and that means padati. So we have different, in Gaudiya Sampradaya, there are different padatis. And according to the line that one lands in, or falls in, or takes diksha in, there are different padatis, or systems. So what we find nowadays, which I mentioned, is that, this is a slight review of the classes, is that the padatis of different sampradayic lines in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya are being translated in English, and they're available on internet, or net, whatever you call it, and disk. So we have padatis from Dhyan Chandra and Siddha Krishnadas and different ones. So we may be in one, we may not be in Prakashara Pandit's line, but we take his padati, and then we read it and try to use that for our bhajan. And it's kind of like Kichri. So these padatis are specific according to the parampara line that one's in. So if you look at the line, at Rupa Sanatan's actual line, what they received from Lord Chaitanya and what they taught a very specific padati. It's called Rupa's Padati, Rupa Goswami's Padati, or Rupa Sanatana Padati. And what are the books, the sacred books of that Padati? They're very clear. There's no confusion. The books are Nectar Devotion, Upadeshamrita, and these are the books. So we were explaining that, this Padati. So in the 19th chapter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he explains what Rupa Goswami calls the progressive path of bhajan. And in the context of that discussion, he reveals this verse, Ado Shara Tata Sara Sangha Bhajana Kriya Narta Nivriti Tato Nishta, that bhajan begins with Shraddha, or faith in Shastra, and then that's for most people. And some people, they can begin bhajan, their inspiration for bhajan may be just attraction to Krishna due to previous samskaras or contact with sadhus in last life, that they actually already have that touch of rag or attraction, lobe. But generally, most people read Shastra, they get convinced on the basis of Shastra, or someone's preaching from Shastra, and on that basis, because they have some piety and some faith, they say, yes, it sounds good, let me try it, or let me practice, let me take up this abhyas, this sadhana. So he's formulated the Bhajan Rahasyam to fulfill the Manobishtam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heart's desire was fulfilled by Rupa Goswami, and he wrote his books, and then Raghunath Das, and then all these books together become a body of instructions and teachings for bhajan. So Bhaktivinoda, he studied all the books, Radharas Sudhanidhi, Vilapkusamanjali, all the different books. Then he, from his personal bhajan, he made his padati, which is a summary of Rupa and Sanatan's teachings. It's actually a summary. He brought the essence. Then he explained this, and then he explained that this is by using these shlokas, which I've collected in this book, Bhajan Rahasyam, using these shlokas for meditation and the chanting of the holy name and following this progressive path, which the Mool Sutra, or the, let's say, the main, it's actually, they say Paribhasa Sutra, the main sutra, the main verse, which will develop this concept, using this verse, Ado Sharatata Sarasanga Bhajana Kriya, using this verse, we will develop our bhajan, following Rupa Sanatan, by doing Nam Sankirtan under shelter of Guru. We will develop our Nam Bhajan to come to the stage of Bhava Bhakti and the service of Radha and Krishna. Of course, ultimately, to attain the service of Radha and Krishna, one must have Siddha Deha. Because without Siddha Deha, you can't serve the Siddha personalities. One must have a perfected body or be a perfected being in order to serve the perfect person, Radha and Krishna. So Siddha Deha, it comes in three ways. And generally, this is like a review. Generally, always Guru is involved. Without Guru, there's nothing. There's no chance for receiving bhakti or progressing in bhakti. The Siddha Deha is received directly through from Guru or from Nam, if one chants Shuddha Nam, which is only by the mercy of Guru, or through the context of service, by bhakti itself. The necessity of the service one is rendering may require, one's intensity and desire may come so to such a high pitch that Bhakti Devi herself, who is the personification of bhakti, she will reveal the sarup. So in these three ways. And as we mentioned yesterday, as that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Krishna will manage everything. When the adhikar, when the eligibility is there, genuine eligibility and greed, then we'll be direct, the holy name, our name, our chanting of Nam will become proper or pure, or we'll attain the proper association for guidance or initiation in Siddha Sarup, or our service itself will reveal. So last year we had, just to review a little bit last year, I want to review one verse because this is kind of, we covered three verses of Shikshastakam because he, in a very dynamic way, because he sees that the Shikshastakam, in the Shikshastakam is also the whole method of bhajan is contained in Shikshastakam. So he's taking Shikshastakam and this verse from Nectar Devotion, Ado Sharatata Sarasanga, then the Maha Mantra as the basic methodology of bhajan, and showing how the fulfillment of Lord Chaitanya's desire, because Lord Chaitanya's desire was for everyone to follow the path of Raghunuga Bhakti, and for everyone to come to the realization and enter the Braj Leela and serve Radha and Krishna there. This is actually the desire of the heart of Lord Chaitanya. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, in a very unique way, combining these. So last year, in the first verse of Shikshastakam, Chaitodarpana Marjanam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes seven glories of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, seven wonderful benefits or treasures that one will attain by chanting Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya begins his prayer like this to increase and deepen our faith in the process of Nam Bhajan. Because Nam Bhajan is the process. Because in our Nam, in chanting of Nam, we have to do Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. These three things. But unless our chanting is pure, then we can't actually enter into Smaranam. Because when we do Smaranam, if our chanting is not pure, then we'll be subjected to the problems that are mentioned in Madhurya Kandamini. Laya Vikshepa, Kasaya, distraction, laziness. We'll try to do Smaranam, we'll fall asleep, we'll be distracted. All these things are mentioned in Madhurya Kandamini. These problems. So he begins by saying that this Chaitodharma, Lord Chaitanya, the process is Nam Bhajan, which is the easiest, most sublime way to attain spiritual perfection in the age of Kali. So then he explains, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, other places also, the seven treasures of the holy name. So by Lord Chaitanya describing these things, we say, really, all of that's in the holy name. I thought the holy name, we take it for granted. We become so familiar. I have a phrase in English, familiarity breeds contempt. If you're very familiar with someone, you may become resentful. This person. You minimize the person's stature or their significance and you relegate them to some lower position, or even you may become offensive. So the holy name, we're so familiar with it. It's always with us wherever we go. And we may, the holy name, take it or leave it. And we don't take it very seriously. So when we, this is just a review because this is the basis, Nam Bhajan. So I'm only going to review this one verse, these seven treasures in like 10 minutes or whatever. So because this is the basis, Ado Shraddha. Shraddha means, it begins with faith. The stronger our faith, Because faith is the basis of our bhajan, and faith is what brings us to step by step forward in bhajan. So he says that this first part, this prayer itself, Cheto Dharvana Marjanam, it represents faith, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, and artha nivritti. So let's look at this verse. Cheto Dharvana Marjanam. This means cleansing the mirror of the heart. So mirror means, this is the, by chanting Hare Krishna, this cheto or chitta becomes cleansed and pure. Then what happens then? It's just like a mirror. That's why he says darpan, because there's actually in Sankhya, if you study Sankhya or you see the descriptions in third canto, explains that chitta is like the fine, is like a fine layer, it's like a piece of glass. And on one side of the glass is the Atma, on the other side of the glass is the ego. The ego, the sense of identity, and in our case, ahankar, false ego, then intelligence, and then mind, and then senses, the body. So this chitta is like a piece of glass. That's why it says darpan, cheto darpan. Darpan means mirror. So this every action that we perform with the senses is reflected onto the chitta. There's some etching there. So therefore, there's so many material. When we see something and make some impression there, if we hear something, all these are all impressions, which are called samskaras. They're all embedded in the chitta. And the chitta, so when the chitta is so much full of information, full of impressions, that we can't see through it. It's like glass covered with mud. If you cover all mud all over glass, if you have some window pane and you take some thick mud and put it over, and light won't come through there. And you can't see through the glass. So the chitta is like this. It's actually part of the material energy. The finest part of the material energy is the chitta, finer than ego. Because these are the coverings, these are the koshas, the coverings of the soul. The soul is covered by the senses, right? The indriya. Then by the mind. Then by the intelligence. Then by the hankar. Then chitta. Then atma. Right? Pure atma. So that's why the first verse, Lord Chaitanya is saying that chitta must become cleansed. And this is the interesting thing about it. Only bhakti can clean the chitta. And other systems, they can calm the senses and calm the mind, but they don't actually remove the samskaras. You see the example of Sobari Muni, the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. What a great Mahayogi he was. You read, everyone can read the story, ninth canto. He lived inside the Yamuna, meditating for thousands of years. Such a Mahayogi that there was no question of sense enjoyment or overeating or oversleeping or too much sweet rice at the Sunday feast. He was totally, there was nothing to disturb him. But his chitta was not cleansed. There were still samskaras. Samskaras are deep impressions in the chitta that force us to act in a certain way. And so they're lying, they're just like, they're carried over life after life. There's so many impressions marked in the chitta. So although he was meditating for so long, when he saw something under the water, he saw some fish, then that became like udipan, became like a stimulant, which stimulated his chitta. And then from the stimulation of chitta, then the samskaras that are lying in the chitta, they got aroused. And then when the samskaras, he had samskaras for enjoying woman. So when those samskaras got aroused by seeing the fish enjoying under the water, then some desires, vasanas, called vasana, they arose from that samskara. Then he became forced. He became forced by the pressure of those vasana coming from his impressions and previous, can say, his samskaras, previous actions in that regard for enjoying woman. He came out of the Yamuna and he went to the nearest town, and there was a king there named King Mandata, and he went to the king and said, listen, I'd like to beg some charity. And he was obviously a great yogi. He was, you know, covered with seaweed or whatever, and he said, I want to have marry one of your princesses. The story is there, you know. So the king said, well, You can do a Gandharva marriage. I'll let my princesses choose. If they want, anyone wants to marry you, then they can marry you. And he said, all right, I'll come back tomorrow. So then Sobari Muni went away, and then by his mystic power, he converted his wrinkled, shriveled and wrinkled body. He converted it into a very effulgent and powerful and strong, handsome young man. And he came back the next day, knocked on the door and said, I'm the Muni that was here yesterday, Sobari Muni, and I've come to accept your offer of Gandharva marriage or your princesses. So the king was thinking, oh my God, I got myself in a heap of trouble now, because he didn't want to go against the sage. He'll get cursed or sent to hell or something. So then he said, okay. He called his daughters, and then when they saw this handsome man, they said, Daddy, we want to marry. They all wanted to marry him. So he said, okay, come on. And he took all 50 of them. So he married 50 at one shot. Now here's a yogi who's under the water, completely absorbed in his meditation, and looking as still and calm as a rock. But inside, you know, lying, sleeping in his chitta, are all these samskaras for enjoyment. So this is this show. Shukamuni is trying to show that this process of yoga or jnana or karma, they're only moving in the modes of nature. You're just positioning yourself in different modes of nature, but you're not cleaning the chitta. So that's why Lord Chaitanya says, the first thing he says is, this chanting gets right to the very root of material existence. It's the chitta. The problem is the chitta, not the senses. Even you can control your senses, you can control everything. And even keep your mind and do pranayama and so many things and cool your mind and eat sattvic foods and drink fruit juice every day or something. And keep very cool-headed. But what's going on inside? It's Pandora's box, as they say. The chitta is like Pandora's box. There's all kinds of serpents lurking in there and various unknown entities. So he says that the chitta, our heart, becomes cleansed and pure by chanting. Then what happens? Then one can understand or see the reality of five different truths. So when the chitta becomes clean, then the ego gets the proper eyes. Because when the chitta is dirty, then the ego, we only identify which... the ego, which is the identity, we can only identify with whatever is written on the chitta, which is all of our samskaras and vasanas from previous lives and this life. But when the chitta becomes clear, then the ego can see through that, through the chitta. And on the other side of the chitta is me. I'm there. So then this is why it says that one can understand or see the reality of five truths when the chitta becomes clean. Ishvara, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One sees it, one understands it, one realizes it. The jiva, and that the jiva, the second thing is he realizes the jiva. By chanting Hare Krishna, we become cleansed of material desires. Our chitta becomes cleansed. And then we actually realize, I am an eternal spirit soul, a loving servant of the beautiful, sweet Lord of Vrindavan. This is the second truth. And the third truth, which this is basically sounds like Bhagavad Gita, because these are almost the five truths. The third truth is Prakriti. One understands that this material nature is Krishna's separated material energy. Well, this is actually the Bhagavad Gita. And the fourth one is Kala, that time is controlling and destroying everything except the eternal spirit soul. In other words, I'm not destroyed, I'm eternal. That we realize. And the kala, then karma, fruit of activities. The tendency to enjoy the material world becomes transformed into the inclination to serve Krishna and his devotees. We change from being enjoyers and exploiters and become servants and dedicators, offering everything we have for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. So, of course, that's the high end of a pure chitta. Offering everything we have for the pleasure and service of Guru and Krishna. That would be when our chitta is quite... Because everything, that is an absolute statement. Offering everything we have. And that would mean that our chitta, our consciousness, is completely pure. Because until that time, We offer some things and keep some things. We do a little service and a little enjoyment, so that as our chitta becomes more cleansed, and then we will accordingly exhibit these different tendencies. Then the second treasure, he calls these the treasures of the holy name, Bhavamaha Devagni Nirvapanam. So he says, he equates this particular stage as nishta. And a nishta, this phrase means Davan Agni, as you know, means fire. So Davan Agni, Maha Davan Agni means great forest fire. Bhava means material existence. Bhavahure Manashri Nandanandana. Bhavahure Manashri Nandanandana. So this Nirvapan means just extinguishes the blazing forest fire of material existence. So this is the second treasure of the holy name. Although the material world appears very charming and pleasurable, in reality the threefold miseries are constantly burning our hearts like fire. The miseries of our own body and mind, other living entities, and natural disturbances. Like now it's the middle of October, and it feels like the middle of June. And we live here. Imagine if you came from Europe or somewhere, you might feel extremely uncomfortable. Because it's, as you come many times at this time of the year, I know, and I don't think it's so hot usually in October. But you accept it, okay, it's Radhakund, Radhe, what to do? But we can't say what we're enjoying. We can't say, oh, it's really wonderful, I'm really enjoying it. Because only 2 months ago, the same place we're sitting in, the wind was blowing, the sky was blue, clouds were racing across the sky. Everyone was saying, wow, feel like we're in Europe. I mean, I've been here since 19 years, and 2 months ago was a rainy season. There was no rain, but all the symptoms of rain were there. Maybe you were here, I don't know, but sky was blue, really dark, nice blue, and clouds were coming from there and going there. Bye. And then, but the wind was always blowing, a cool breeze, and it was like 24 degrees, 25, 20 at night. I mean, everyone was like, oh. This was just in August, July, maybe July. And now it's back to June. It's kind of like you know, what, a pendulum or something. Okay, go this way towards winter. No, let's go back to summer. We're supposed to be going towards winter, right? But all from summer, then comes fall, then winter. So we went summer, rainy season, fall, winter. No, summer, rainy season. Okay, well, no fall. Let's go back the other ways. The seasons got their directions backfired. So natural disturbances, by chanting Hare Krishna, that removes the sins and sufferings and stops the cycle of repeated birth and death and grants liberation. The third treasure, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitanranam. This represents ruchi, or taste in bhakti. The translation is Chandrika, as you know, is moon, or moon rays. It spreads, the holy name spreads the soothing moon rays of the white lotus of auspiciousness. Kairava is like Komudi. Komudi and Kairava are the same, night blooming lotus. So everything becomes auspicious. And he says this is, then he'll explain. Chanting Hare Krishna brings real fortune by opening the lotus of our hearts, our own hearts. This is fortune. Someone may think fortune means to get a raise in pay or get a good position or some windfall of money or whatever. But here he's saying that this is fortunate because now our hearts are contracted. Our hearts are completely frozen shut, sealed shut, locked tight by material desires. Material desires, they cripple one. They cripple the Atma. They actually make the Atma crippled. You know, crippled with crutches, you know, a crippled person, can't walk, you can't move. Material desires, they don't allow you to move. Certainly they don't allow you to move out of the material world. They keep you in a circle. You go just chase your tail like the dog, when a dog has worms, if a dog has worms in his intestines and he keeps running after his tail because it's itching, so he thinks he's trying to bite his tail and run around. So people are just running around in circles. And they're not really in their hearts. So he says that this is because when the heart opens, then one really tastes life. They say if one who has not loved has not lived. They have this expression. One who has not loved has not lived. Or life without love is not worth living. And these sound like some of these new age slogans or something. Life without love is not worth living. And the fact, that's a fact. Because actual real life is loving. And only, love is only possible in spiritual life. So when one comes to spiritual life, then he learns to love. And he actually learns to live. Or he lives. So that's very auspicious. And when you love, you taste. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakura is saying that this represents ruchi. Shreya Kairava Chandravitaranam. This holy name spreads the soothing rays of the white lotus of auspiciousness. Because what happens? When the sun rises, the daytime lotuses, the pink lotus, the red lotus, the yellow lotus, the daytime lotuses, when the sun rises, this lotus, what does it do? It opens up. It's like we have these lilies. Lilies behave similarly. Some lilies in this pond here, when the sun rises, then the brighter the sun, the more they open up. If it's a cloudy day, they don't feel very inspired. They don't feel much enthusiasm from their husband. Their husband is the sun. And the lily, even the word lily is a feminine. In America, they call some girls in old days lily or something. So lily is a feminine. So the flower is feminine and her husband is the sun. So when he's bright and he's expanded, then she's expanded. She opens up. She's happy. Lily is opened up. But when he goes, then she feels sad. Oh, my husband is gone. He's set. The sun sets. And what does she do? She shrinks. She closes down. So when we're separated from Krishna, our hearts shrink. They separate. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar. Krishna Surya Sama. Krishna is like, he's equal. Sama means equal. He's equal to the sun or millions of suns. So when the sun shines, the lotus opens. So the holy name is the sunshine. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya. Maya makes our heart contract. Like Maya means darkness, Andhakara, right? So when it becomes dark, the lily closes down. So we're in the darkness of Krishna Bahirmukh, our face turned away from Krishna. Then we're in the darkness. This world is full of darkness. The world is actually dark. The light comes from outside. There's no light in this world. Where does the light come from? From the sun. The earth is not luminous. It's not self-luminous. It's a dark planet.
Light is coming from the electric department. The sunshine. So when the sun turns its back, we spin around one way and we're in the dark. When we turn our back, so this light of Krishna, when we're in the darkness, then the heart is contracted. That's why he's saying here that chanting Hare Krishna brings real fortune by opening the lotus of our hearts. Because the holy name is like the sun, and our hearts are like a lotus. But here, the sun is very, very beautiful, what Lord Chaitanya said, because why he could have written this verse by saying that the holy name is like the sun. But the sun, as everyone knows, especially now, today, or what to speak of in the summer, we know the sun can be very nasty, scorching, burning. How many people ever burn their feet on the hot sand? That's the mercy of the sun. That's Surya Prasad. Here, have a little mercy. Ow! Run! Come on, let's run! You know, you go to the Puri beach in May or something. You go to the Puri beach in May or June and you say, oh, let's go swimming. Okay, come on, you know, get your bathing suit. And you start, we don't bring our shoes. No, we don't need our shoes. And you start walking in the sand. Ow, 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 hurry up. You just run all the way across the beach because it's like 50, 60 degrees of sand. Because each little piece of sand is like a magnifying glass. And the sun is coming down and it's like turns into fire. I've been there. And even the Parikrama Marg in the summertime. So Lord Chaitanya, aptly, he didn't compare the holy name to the sun, but to the moon, Chandrika. And the moon never burns. Did anyone ever get moonburn? Do you ever put cream on your nose for moonburn? You know, put some sun protection? Moon protection, MP50, you know. Yeah, I'd say moon protection. The moon protection factor, MPF. Screen out the moon rays. Of course, maybe we should do that. We need to get some of that cream for the brahmacharis. So when the full moon comes, the brahmacharis get pretty affected. Oh, they get a little interested in the brahmacharis. So we should put some cream on them to keep the moon rays off their head. Because the moon, you know, it's romantic, increases the feeling of romance. So the moon is very cooling and very soothing and very satisfying. So the holy name spreads the soothing moon rays of the white lotus of auspiciousness. So that the lotus of auspiciousness is our heart. Our heart is like a lotus. And when the holy name shines on the heart, the holy name is like the moon, the Chandrika. And our heart is like the Kairava. So the Kairava, when the Kairava, the lotus, the white lotus of our heart, meets the moon rays of Krishna's name, then it opens, it blossoms. Because there's something called night blooming lotus, which opens in the night, the opposite of a day blooming lotus. So when that lotus opens, and what's inside of a lotus? There's nectar, called makarande. Mana mana samada karam arpaya nija pada pankaja makarande. Krishna deva bhavantam vande. It's a very popular song in Gaudiya Math. And that song, Rupa Goswami, is from Stavamala. Rupa Goswami saying, Krishna deva bhavantam vande. He says, I worship that Krishna Dev. That he's divyati. He's a very playful Lord, and he's very beautiful, dark and attractive. And his feet are makarande, pankaja makarande. Makarande means nectar. So when our heart opens up by the influence of the holy name, then we find there's some nectar inside. We actually taste our own heart. And that's why this is called, represents ruchi. So the holy name, this is the second treasure of the holy name. It opens our heart and allows us to taste it. We actually taste it. Wow. There's something sweet in my heart. And that sweetness is been revealed by the holy name. That's the sweetness of bhakti. It is a drop, bhakti ras bindu. It's a drop of bhakti ras. We actually taste, actually, life isn't so bad. And there's a hopeful proposal before me. There's some enchantment in my life. There's some inspiration in my mind. There's a chance for perfection. It's actually possible. It's attainable. It's within reach. So all these type of experiences happen when one takes Vaishnava Diksha in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the chanting of Hare Krishna brings real fortune by opening the lotus of our hearts. The flower of our consciousness begins to bloom and takes us to Vrindavan. Krishna Nam Sankirtan is like the moon. The pure chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra will bring one moon ray of Bhav, a Prem Kiran, down to touch the white lotus flower of our own hearts and make it bloom. One's life then becomes most auspicious and he begins an intimate personal relationship with Krishna in one of five rasas. So this is the third treasure, Shreya Kai Ravi Chandra Kavichara. Like every day we chant this prayer, it's recommended by Krishna's Kaviraj, that we should chant this prayer every day. And generally most Vaishnavas chant every day, and we're supposed to reflect on the meaning of this prayer, especially this first one, because all the seven aspects are here in this prayer. So this stage of ruchi, in the stage of ruchi one actually begins to have a understanding of his eternal relationship. You can say a dawning of the understanding of his eternal relationship and his sthayiva of Krishna. When his life then becomes most auspicious and he begins an intimate personal relationship with Krishna in one of five rasas. Treasure 4. Vidya Vadu Jivanam. Vadu means a new bride, not an old bride. I guess you can't be an old bride. You're an old wife. It's a girl that's just been married, because a newly married girl or new bride, they translate it, she has a certain kind of sense about her, a tenderness, a sweetness, an innocence, at least in traditional Vedic marriage or culture. These qualities were there in a new bride, and they're very attractive. So vidya means knowledge and jivana means life. So it's translated as the life of the wife of all transcendental knowledge. This represents asakti. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra brings us under the guidance of Krishna's personal internal energy. As vidya vadu, vadu, wife means this, means the feminine energy, the shakti, Asurup Shakti, Radharani. So it says here, or Bhaktivinoda's telling actually, the chanting Hare Krishna mantra brings us under the guidance of Krishna's personal internal energy. Somebody's ringing or something. Sarup Shakti, called Yoga Maya. So this word Vidya, when we're saying Vidya Vadu Jivanam, Vidya represents Yoga Maya. You chant Hare Krishna, it brings us to the Vadu conception. This is interesting. This is by Sridhar Maharaj. The Vadu conception. The new bride conception. What is that? Chanting Hare Krishna brings us to this conception, the new bride. The word Vadu means a tender new bride, a newly married girl. So what is the Vadu conception? Vidya Vadu Jivana. This means the mood of conjugal devotion, Madhurya Bhav, where one is disposed for Krishna's enjoyment. So Vadu, a newly married bride or a newly married girl, she is offering herself everything she has for the pleasure of her husband, for the service and pleasure of her husband. So this is the most intimate relationship we have in this world. And this is what is the holy name has the potential or power to bring us, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, this gift is possible. You can receive this gift. You can receive this intimate relationship with the Lord. This is the Vadu conception, Vidya Vadu Jivanam, that you can attain relationship of such intimacy with Krishna up to this extent, up to the extent of Madhurya Bhav, become the conjugal lover of Krishna, or generally we have it. Or servants of the conjugal lovers, Gopi Bhartu, Padakamali, or Das Nardas. It's described conjugal devotion, Madhurya Bhav, wherein one is disposed for Krishna's enjoyment, means he's lending himself or offering himself for Krishna's enjoyment, fully, everything. At this stage, one unconditionally surrenders everything for Krishna's maximum pleasure. At this time, this is Asakti, treasure number 4, Vidyavadu Jivanam. At this time, Bhakti Devi, because everything is personal, all of Krishna is a person, and everything about him is personal and a person. His energy is personal and it's a person. So Bhakti is a potency or an energy, and she is also personal, she's a person. Bhakti Devi. Bhakti Devi is considered to be an amsha of Srimati Radharani. So Bhakti Devi, she is a combination of Krishna's Ladini and Sambit Shakti, manifesting, who will manifest the original pure form, spiritual form of the Jiva. So this is, the Vadu conception ultimately means this, because the Vadu conception means having the form which is suitable to give Krishna full enjoyment. So our material form as a man or woman or a resident, we cannot give Krishna full enjoyment because he has spiritual body. So in order to actually serve Krishna fully, we need spiritual body. So this is one of the treasures that the holy name will give, Vidyavadu Jivanam. It gives life. It gives the life of the wife of all transcendental knowledge. So we need to, siddhadeya, deya means a body, spiritual body, which is living, eternally living. So that's the life, and then vidya represents yogamaya. And then this vidyavadu means this conception. The highest conception is the mood of conjugal devotion, Madhurya Bhav. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Madhurya Bhav through the chanting of the holy name. So at this time, at this stage of asakti, then Bhakti Devi will actually manifest one's spiritual form. Treasure number 5, which is Bhava, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam, increases the ocean. Even open this door. We were trying to get some breeze there. I don't know what happened to our breeze. We opened the kitchen window. I forgot. I don't know why they locked it. Should the key that we were open and the kitchen window is open because we get some breeze through there. You know? But now the sun's going down, so now we can open the windows. So number 5 is Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. that increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we become particles, this is Sridhar Maharaj says, we become particles in an ocean of joy, tasting Krishna's ecstatic association in Braj. Although the jiva is infinitesimal in size, which we've heard so many times, 1/10,000th the tip of a hair, by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he can experience an endless ocean of spiritual bliss. It's a kind of a paradox. It's called a paradox. Something so tiny and so small, he can't even see it, but yet it can experience unlimited ocean, anandam buddhi, vardhanam, an ocean of bliss which increases bigger and bigger and bigger. That's how much bliss we can become submerged in, the tiny infinitesimal soul, by chanting. Upon realizing our own spiritual form as Radharani's eternal maidservant or mandri, for example, we will experience an ocean of happiness that will increase moment by moment in the association of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Of course, that's not our goal is not to be swimming in an ocean of bliss. Our goal is to serve the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and Radharani specifically, and automatically, because they're swimming in an ocean of bliss, so if we serve them, we'll have to enter the ocean. If someone's in the middle of the ocean swimming around and you want to rub their feet, then you have to go in the ocean and catch their feet and rub them. So that ocean that they're swimming in is made of bliss. As soon as you enter the ocean and start massaging their feet, you'll be in the ocean of bliss automatically. You don't have to figure out how to get the bliss because you're surrounded by it, supported by it, and washed with it, washed over with it, and covered with it. So our aim is prema. That's, you know, our goal is just more bhakti, and we're practicing bhakti or performing bhakti only to do more bhakti. We'll stop here. If there's any questions, a few minutes, 5 minutes.
The fifth treasure. Anandam Vardhana. This represents Bhav, the level of Bhava. Should I read one more treasure? The sixth treasure. Patipadam Purnamritam Swaranam. This is Patipadam, every step, Purna, complete nectar, Amrit, Swaranam, taste. The chanting of the holy name enables us to taste complete nectar at every step. By purely chanting the Maha Mantra, one will relish complete and uninterrupted bliss and rasa at every moment due to the ever-increasing freshness of his attachment to Krishna. Ever-increasing freshness of his attachment to Krishna. So this represents viraha prema in the analysis of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Pratipadam Purnamritam, of course, that's maybe a little bit away from us, that experience. Pratipadam, mostly we may experience every step to be quite difficult. Treasure number 7, Sarvatma Snapanam. This represents Sambhog Prem. The holy name completely bathes the body, mind, and atma. Sarva Atma Snapanam means snan. Chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra bathes and completely purifies the entire self. Then one can experience the form